Let's stand if you can as we sing number 22.
The church is one foundation.
Found God.
Matthew 13, verse 24, the parable of the wheat and tares. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. I'll start reading while you get there. Matthew 13, verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest.
And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took, sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took, and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away, and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. Let's pray. Our Father, help us as we look at this and talk about it, apply it to today in whatever way we can, that it might bless our hearts, that we might be better understanding of the kingdom of heaven and the way things are going. We see that happening even now. So guide and direct us in our thoughts, and help me as I preach to say the right things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The parable of the wheat and tares, the explanation, he puts it out there, but the explanation is given later to the disciples only. I think that's interesting. He speaks this out to everybody, but it's only later when he's with his disciples alone, and of course the disciples ask him to explain it, that he does so. I think it has a lot to do with the very last words that I mentioned in verse 43. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And of course, if you have something other than a King James Bible, this is the way it says it there. Who hath ears, let him hear. Oh, no, wait a minute. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Because that's what the prophets were saying in the Old Testament. Isaiah said it. Look there at verse 14. In chapter 13, verse 40, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall hear and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. The problem with people is they might have ears, but they're not hearing ears. And so I say, stay with your King James Version of the Bible. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. A lot different than he that hath ears, let him hear. Well, everybody's got ears most of the time, you know. But he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And I hope you got ears this morning to hear the word of God, to hear the Spirit of God. Take the word of God, put it down deep inside your heart and soul. That's the kind of ears you got to have. A lot of people don't have ears like that. Now, his uttering in parables was because only believers would be able to understand. So he gives them in parables. He was revealing things kept secret from ages past. What was kept secret from ages past? I believe this is what was kept secret. What? That there was going to be a time lapse in between his suffering and his future glory. A time lapse which also includes the time we're sitting here in church this morning in. And of course, this, we refer to this as the church age. But this time lapse in reference to the kingdom of heaven stretches from the time of Christ here on earth, right through the church age, right in through the tribulation time, right on into the kingdom age for 1,000 years here on this earth. And so there's a lot of misunderstanding when one tries to apply this parable to just the church age. You're going to have some trouble doing that. But when you apply it to the whole kingdom of heaven age, it makes sense. And I'm going to show you that as we go through this. And I don't believe that I'll get to the part where I'm going to, and I'll just throw this out, why this parable is not the church. Don't think I'll get to that today, but who knows, maybe I will. I don't know. The explanation is given for the parable of the wheat and the tares down in verses 36 through 43. There in those passages, in verse 37 especially, the sower is again Jesus Christ. He's sowing the good seed. The field is the world. Now, not the church, though it is found in this time. It's not the church. It's, although the church does exist during this time, but it's kind of within the kingdom of heaven. It has a beginning and an ending within the kingdom of heaven. The field is the world. And you say, oh, why do you bring that out? Because some want to say that this parable of the wheat and the tares has reference to what's going on in the church. Well, no, it doesn't. It's what's going on in the world, which the church age is just a part of at this time. And, well, let me just throw this out to you right away here. They ask, should we pull up the tares right now and pull them out? And the answer back was, no, don't do that. Leave them go. Well, if you're applying that to the church, what does that mean, that the church should put up with tares within it? Should we put up with unbelievers inside the church? Or should the church separate from unbelief? And should those who are in the church who are following the devil and are represented as tares, should they not be rooted out of the church? Is not the church told to root out the leaven that's in it? And yet here the Lord saying, no, leave it alone till the end. So you can't apply these parables always, primarily only, to the church. They have reference to something bigger than just the church. And that's just one reason why this parable is not for the church. I just thought I'd better throw that in right now, okay? So the sower is the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, anyone else following Christ, preaching the gospel as well, we're sowing that good seed. The field is the world. The wheat or good seed are the sons of the kingdom who get in there by being born again. John 3:3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. The tares are the children of Satan. They are those who have not received the message of the kingdom of heaven. They've not received the good seed sown in there. They don't represent the good seed. They represent another seed that has been sown within the kingdom of heaven, and that's the seed of the devil. And so the tares are the children of Satan. The enemy who does this, of course, the disciples and those who asked the question, let's see, who were they? The servants of the householder said, how'd they get in here? Well, the enemy is Satan. While the servants slept, Satan infiltrated the field with counterfeit seed. And that's what Satan does. Now, this is just a story laid down alongside spiritual truth here to teach us a lesson, to teach us who have ears to hear a lesson. Christians sleep while the devil is sowing the tares. And you know what? We would do well to stay awake and be aware of what's going on. The parable is given so that we would know what's going on. While the servants slept, and you know, you do have to sleep sometime. While they slept, the devil was busy about doing his work. But sometimes Christians sleep when they really should be awake. Christians sleep when they lose their first love for Christ. And they fall asleep. And even in the epistles it says we need to awake and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. They get lulled to sleep by refusing to remain separated from the world. And as a result of not being separated from the world, they fall asleep spiritually, thinking everything's all right when it's not. The devil's busy about doing his work. Here's another time when Christians sleep, when they should be awake. They sleep when they get weary in well-doing. Be not weary in well-doing. For you shall reap if you faint not. Christian, we're to stand for the Lord. Be awake. Be aware of what's going on in our world today. And what's going on, we need to be watching. And be aware of what's going on all around. Notice the seed is not recognized as bad until it springs up and bears its fruit. Nobody knows it's even there. But the devil's working very hard. Satan has been working from the very beginning of the mystery form of the kingdom of heaven to counterfeit all that Christ is doing. And oh, he's doing quite a work. How much religion is there in the world today? And just take Christianity itself. How much confusion is there in that which calls itself Christian today? It is a mess. In order to get people saved, many times you've got to actually almost rip them out of Christianity, quote unquote Christianity, and show them what the Bible says about Christ. For they are so enamored with the religion and traditions of men, and fables and myths, and in the last days, even doctrines of devils in the very midst of the church, if you want to say that. Not only in the world, which this parable is really about, the whole world, but even in the church, that which calls itself Christianity. What some ungodly things are going on. Yeah, the day Ray Street Baptist Church makes a statement that we will now accept homosexuality and lesbianism into the membership of our churches is the day we have fallen asleep and we're growing more tares here than wheat. We're in big trouble. And when we have two Bibles, take your pick. One says one thing, one says another, as we saw in Sunday school. Take your pick. Wheat and tares. We got some leaven going on. Now the church is instructed to rip it out. Okay? The Lord instructs during the kingdom of heaven, you got to let it alone. It will be all figured out in the judgment day. But the church needs to be clean and pure. So notice the seed is not recognized as bad until it springs up and bears fruit. Satan's been working from the very beginning along this line. Go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. John talks about this going on. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Go to verse 22. who is a liar, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. You know, you can put all the cults in there, right there. Because all the cults have a big problem. They deny who Jesus Christ really is and what his work was all about. They deny it. We could just go through them. You know, Christian Science, Jehovah's Witness, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, also known as Mormons. It's what do they say about the Lord Jesus Christ that's bad? And just on and on it goes through all the cults that there are. It's who is Jesus Christ? What did he do? They have problems with it. Whosoever denieth that Jesus Christ is the Christ, he is Antichrist. That denieth the Father and the Son. By the way, if you deny who and what Jesus Christ is, you're also denying the Father. Because they're together. Verse 23. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. You know, there are some cults that do not believe that the Son and the Father exist at the same time. But that in the Old Testament, God existed as the Father. In the New Testament, or during the life of Christ, he existed as a Son. And now he ceased being Son or Father, and now he's a Spirit. And then they want to try and counterfeit themselves. Say, well, we really believe in a Trinity, but just not all at the same time. Well, that's what Trinity means. Well, we do believe in the three persons, but just not all at the same time. I believe in all three at the same time. And that's Bible. From the very first chapters of the book of Genesis, right on through the book of Revelation, we see a triune God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And to deny that is Antichrist. Verse 25, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Oh, you mean there's going to be some seduction within Christianity? Yes. Within the kingdom of heaven? Yes. The wheat and the tares growing up together. Verse 27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. I believe referring to the Holy Spirit's teaching ministry. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Matthew chapter 7 talks about, by their fruits ye shall know them, the Lord says. By their fruits ye shall know them. Their fruits reveal what they are. When the blade came up and the servants of the householder looked at the blades of the seed that was put in there, and they brought forth fruit, they saw the tares also. I think it's always interesting when my mom and dad planted a garden, and my wife's parents, they were the same way. They always had gardens. They would have one now if they had room to do it. It was always interesting to me as I watched the plants grow up in a garden, how it was that the bean plant would come up and then there would be a weed next to it that looked almost like that bean plant. I say, how did that get in here? And why didn't the grass come in there? No, somehow, some way. And anyone who plants a garden knows this to be true. Especially in the very beginning, when they first pop up out of the ground, it's hard to distinguish which one should I pull out. Because we were instructed to go out. You know, I don't think my dad listened to the Lord very much, you know. He told me I had to go out and weed that garden. I'd go out there and weed it. Invariably, I'd pull one out that really shouldn't have been pulled up. I'd pull out a bean plant. And maybe I did a few more. How about carrots? And then my parents would come out and say, well, what did you do here? There's nothing here now. Well, I pulled out what I thought were weeds. I ended up pulling out the true thing. See how, just like this parable, that's what the Lord is saying here. You can't do that in the kingdom of heaven. You can't pull everything out. Notice the servants are not allowed to weed out the tares. They were to be tolerant fellows. Remember now, this is not the church that we're talking about, but the world. We can't, as believers in the gospel and that, go out into this world and say, hey, if you're not going to go our way, you're out of there. No, we can't do that. We can't go out in the world and say, hey, you gotta look like, be like the good seed. When they're tares, they can't. No matter how hard they try, they cannot. Because they're the seed of the enemy, the devil. No matter how much they may look like, act like, they are not the same as the wheat. Now, why am I getting so excited about this? Because I want to expose something that the church thinks it needs to do. And they don't need to do this. Nor have we been given the mandate in the Bible to do this. What is that? I'm just going to say a term. Moral majority. All right, just throw that out. How many have ever heard of that term being used, you know, within the last 30, 40 years? Moral majority. Raise your hand. All right. The moral majority, founded by Jerry Falwell and others of his liking and so forth, which eventually also included others that aren't even considered Christian, such as Mormons and Jews together in this moral majority. We call it Reconstructionism. It's another word for it. And what is it? It's a work by the church to try to legislate righteousness for the whole country of the United States, and that somehow we can influence the whole nation and turn it back to God and make it a Christian nation. We'll root out the tares somehow, some way, by legislation or whatever, and we'll just make this a better place. That's not the job of the church. It's not the job of us to do. Reconstructionism is no work for the Christian. Legislating righteousness over the tares is not God's work. Now, lest ye root up also the wheat with them. Many times this reconstructionism mentality comes back to haunt them, because here they are trying to make Christians out of people who aren't. And then, you know, you kind of get a whole lot of people under one big, huge umbrella. And then you know what happens? It starts to stink underneath that umbrella. Because we've gathered wheat and tares together. And we pull up the tares. Hey, you tares, you got to be like the wheat. You got to look like the wheat. Yeah, rip them up out of here. It doesn't work. It won't work. So what's the church to do? Well, it's not to do this work of trying to make this world a perfect place during the church age. The church age and the church itself is not going to win the whole world over to Christ. We're not going to do it. It's not going to happen. Would we like it to happen? Of course. We'd love it to happen. But folks, it's not going to happen. In fact, we've even been told the church itself is going to become rather ineffective in its witness to this world because of a refusal to take a stand for the doctrines of the Word of God and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. And a lot of flesh work is going on inside the church today. And one of these flesh works is the desire on the part of many within the church to pull the tares out of this world and clean the place up. I don't know what they're thinking about, but it's not what we're supposed to do. The harvest is the end of the world, and that's when this place is going to be cleaned up. And that'll be after the church has been raptured out of this untoward, wicked generation world we live in. We're going to be raptured out. And quite frankly, almost the opposite of what they want to do is going to happen. The Lord's going to pull the wheat up out and leave the tares behind in the rapture. We're not to be going around pulling up the tares. The harvest is the end of the world. World equals this age that we, the age we're in. The age in which wheat and tares grow together under unhindered by God. That age is now. I mean, the Lord's allowing this to go on. Allowing what to go on? That the good seed's been planted. The gospel's gone out. The saved are in the world. They were in the world even before the church started and will be after into the rapture and tribulation time. The saved will be there. But so are the tares. And the Lord says, let them alone. Be not upset when the wicked prosper. How about that? You know, sometimes we would like to say, oh, Lord, well, can't you just get rid of them and, you know, get them to see their error, their way, and come our way, and everybody come our way. Oh, we'd love that, but it isn't going to happen. We've been told it won't. The field is the world. The good seed's been sown. Thank God that there are those with ears to hear and respond, but the tares grow up right alongside. And the Lord allows it. But he's only going to allow it for a time. There's going to come a harvest day. Be not upset because the wicked prosper. This condition cannot be changed throughout this age. So in a way, I have to say to you, this is like hard love, okay? Get used to it. It's the way it's going to be. Now, I don't mean get used to it in the sense of don't worry about them. Don't worry about spreading the good seed and seeing people get saved and so forth. But don't get to the place. You know what? When is the Lord going to let us have the victory and get everybody under the umbrella? That's not going to happen, not in this age. It will happen after the harvest is done. The end of the world. Meanwhile, we're to be lights in this dark age. Yep, the wheat is growing, and we need to let it shine. Whew, here I am, a wheat sheaf, you know. I'm not a tare, I'm a wheat. Let it be known. And I want to do something here and kind of end the message here by taking you to a psalm that I have told several of you about lately. And that is Psalm 73. Okay? I'm just going to read it. All right? In closing here this morning. Psalm 73. Because this parable of the wheat and the tares, we see the wheat and the tares growing up together. And oh, even the servants of the Lord said, oh, do you want us to go pull out the tares? No, the Lord said, no, let them go. The problem is a lot of times we start questioning God's wisdom in this as we look at the lost and we see them hardly without any problems at all. Have you ever noticed that Christians have a lot of problems? It just seems like a lot of problems come their way. Almost every time we turn around, here's another Christian telling us about something that's not going right. Oh, how we wish it would be all going right. And then invariably we look at the world. We look outside the walls of the church and the world. And, man, they don't seem to have any problems at all. Oh, Psalm 73. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Almost wanted to say, hey, Lord, how about we tear some of them up out of here? No. Verse 4. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. You know, I've even seen some of them go right on through death's door as proud as can be. And I'm saying to myself, they don't even know where they're going. I know where I'm going. When I die, I'm going to heaven. How can they be so proud going right into death? Wow. Verse 5. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. The other day, we were in a meeting where someone was awarded a free trip to Aruba. And my wife and I look at each other like, we could care less about going to Aruba. We could care less. But just seems like they have more than heart could desire, you know. Verse 8. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. They take the name of my Lord in vain. They cuss and swear right in front of God. Doesn't even matter. And yet everything seems to be all right. Verse 10, therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? See, those are proud statements. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Let's go out and rip them up out. Let's go get those tares out. No. Verse 13. Now we go back to the guy who's writing this, who can't quite figure out the plight of the wicked here, now himself. Verse 13. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. He's almost being sorry for talking like this. But he's doing it anyway. He's getting it out. Verse 16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Doesn't it really get you down sometime? This whole matter? You know, those servants of the householder said, do you want us to go pull out the tires? No. We have to put up with this until the harvest time. I wonder if any of them moaned and groaned, well, I think we ought to go out and tear those up. I know my dad didn't understand it. He sent me out. Go get those those weeds out of the garden, Gary. You go get them out. If I would have known better, I could have used this on my dad, you know. But I didn't know. Didn't know it good enough. I'm just joking right now, okay? Just being facetious. But now, look, it was too painful for me. Now I want you to see the rest of this psalm. Verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God. That's the dwelling place of God. And by the way, you who know the Lord can go there. You can go there in prayer. Then understood I their end, the wicked whom he's just been saying such great things about. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou cast them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. What did he see here? He saw the awful end of the terrors in the field. It's going to come quickly, and it's going to be destruction, and it's going to be awful for them. It is going to happen. So now he's upset with himself in verse 21. Thus my heart was grieved and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. That's what he refers to himself now as he sees his own misunderstanding of the whole thing. I had this all wrong. And here I am pouring this out before you, Lord. Oh, I'm like a beast before thee. Verse 23, nevertheless, oh, I like these next words. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to what, folks? Glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Guess what? You're going to have trouble. We're going to be praying for you. Well, sister so-and-so got this the other day. Brother so-and-so came down with that. Let's pray for them. It's going to happen. My flesh, my heart faileth, but God is my strength. And my portion forever. You know what, folks? I have eternal life. You know, these wicked over here, they're going to be brought down in a moment of time. They walk in slippery places. Oh, but I am continually with my Lord. He holds me by my right hand. You know, you always want to be on the right hand, okay? You don't want to be on the left. Right hand. He'll guide me. And afterward, I'm going to glory. I'm going there. Where's the wicked guy going whom, you know, he has everything the heart could desire? Oh, boy. He isn't going to glory. Verse 17, for lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. Wow. There you go. Have you ever said to yourself, boy, it seems like the lost get away with everything. Nothing really bad happens to them like it does to me. Straighten up now, Christian. Straighten up. You're thinking wrong. You're like a beast before the Lord when you're like that. And realize just who you are in Christ and what you have in Christ. And rejoice. And then have a real burden for those who kind of sit out there like tares in the garden. They don't really belong. Souls need the good seed. They need the gospel. They need the good news. Take that to them. And don't ever want to be like them or envious of them or covet what they have. Because they don't have anything compared to what we have in Christ. They don't have anything. We have it all. Along with all the aches and pains. We've got it all in Christ Jesus. I think Psalm 73 answers that pretty good, don't you? I think it does. I didn't know about it either. I remember reading through the Psalms a lot of times. Going right on through the Psalms. Till finally one day, I think somebody mentioned it to me. And then I read that for the first time really with ears to hear. Okay? And I saw that. I said, wow. Look at that. Lord, forgive me for ever complaining about my lot now that I'm a child of yours. For I'm going to glory. I'm going to be with you. I hope that helps you. And that's right out of the wheat and tares parable. And realize also the responsibility of the church is not to clean up this world. We're not going to succeed in that. The amillennialists and the covenant theologians and the postmillennialists, they're all trying to do that. Don't get involved with it. We're to be busy about the work of the Lord, being a witness for Him in this field, trying to get as many saved as we can, awaiting the rapture, waiting for the bridegroom to come for His bride, to take us out of this wicked world to be with Him forever. We're not going to successfully win the world to Christ. Roman Catholicism thinks they're going to bring in a golden age. It won't happen. Not going to happen. Now, for a season, they'll think they'll succeed, but it won't. It won't. So keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep on serving Him. Dear God, thank you for these people and their endurance to hear the things that we talked about today. And I pray it would stay in us and make us better servants of the Lord as we work in this field, this world, which has both tares and wheat growing up in it. But we who are in the church, we have a responsibility to be clean and pure before you so that we can be a good witness to this world. But one of these days, this witness is going to be gone in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And it will continue on, this world, with the wheat and the tares in it, going on to that harvest day. So help us to be faithful in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.